Well, our scripture reading for today is from Matthew 4, 18 to 20, and that's what Rod will be speaking on. And so let me just read that to you this morning. And it fits right in with what we've been looking over with Mark and with our memory verse. Does anyone, have you been working on your memory verse? Oh, some sheepish looks. Some people went, yep. All right, so we do have some bookmarks. I don't know if they're at the back right now, but we're going to continue to memorize a scripture from Mark 1, and it's on a bookmark, but it lines up with this. And so that's so cool. That's how God works, right? So Matthew 4, 18 to 20. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. It's a powerful scripture.
I've never seen so much excitement over a bell. That was pretty impressive. I'm thinking if things get slow during this message, can you mind throwing that up again? And I'll give you the cue. It's always a blessing to spend time with you here at South Shore. It actually does my heart good. We've been spending most of our Sundays at Lake Shore as three of our four children attend there, along with our four grandsons. And it's always nice to worship together as a family, but like all family dynamics, it's nice to have a break once in a while. And I think my kids would all agree. Anna, just my wife, just spent the week doing BVS with two of our daughters at Lakeshore, so she's really appreciating the change this morning. So thanks again for having us, and we always feel welcome here. It's my prayer, as it always is this morning, that the Holy Spirit will come and speak to you, to open your eyes and ears to hear what the Lord has to say to you this morning, because you don't want to hear from me. I really don't have anything for you. And my biggest fear is I get in his way. So I just pray that the Spirit comes and you're able to just to focus on what God has to say this morning. Because when you leave having heard him, you'll leave here changed. Father, I thank you, Lord, for each opportunity that you give us to spend time in your presence. Father, please come this morning. Bring forth your word in clarity. Father, meet us where we're at this morning. Father God, we just pray that you would be glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. As I watch and ponder and seek the Lord regarding the state of the church in North America, I can't help but be concerned. As I speak with pastors, they have a similar story, that church attendance seems to be a revolving door, that not many people plant roots anymore, that our young people seem to have trouble committing. I feel they're not confident in what they're seeing. They are confused with the direction that some churches are taking and are slowly being pulled off the path that they were raised on. There's a great pull from the world, many social media forums creating doubt, and it's left them searching for answers, although the answer I feel is the same. And right in front of us, it's clouded in a fog of inconsistency. They have been wandering around a little lost, a little unsure. And I feel in many ways we are like the church in Ephesus that Jesus addresses in Revelation. He said they were a church that did many things right, but they had lost their first love. They had lost their initial passionate devotion to him, replacing it with genuine affection with duty, replacing genuine affection, with duty and routine. I feel that in many ways that might identify what's missing in our churches today. A couple months ago, my two oldest grandsons had to spend the day with me, and no one trusts me with the little ones yet. I say had to because although they love me, they're not totally trusting in my parenting skills when Nana's not around. I have a lot of qualities that might be comparable to Phil Robertson of the Dynasty. My wife, although, is very much Miss Kay. My grandson describes Nana as being gentle as a dove, yet he struggles to find any words to describe me. However, most people who know me would probably say the same thing. My grandsons know that a day alone with me means some type of adventure in the woods, and they're never sure what that's going to look like and feel much more comfortable when Nana is close by. Anyways, the women were all at a baby shower a few months ago, and the boys got stuck with Papa. So we headed into the woods. We made a survival lean-to. We had a snack that, of course, Nana packed. And then we started to head back. I was leading the way and the boys followed, but at some point they got ahead of me, which was fine. I just said, follow the trail markers because fresh snow had hidden the trail. The problem was the boys are easily distracted and they often began to wander off the trail. I would wait on the trail until they noticed me and realized they had drifted off, and then they would come running back and start again. But a fresh set of animal tracks, a cool-looking boulder, a weird-looking tree would easily distract them, and off they would wander until they got their eyes back on me and come running back. We made it home, and we had a great time even without Miss Kay. But I feel as I observe the church in this day and age, a similar scenario has happened. We're distracted. We're being distracted, and we're starting to wander off the trail. We're in an age when there are more distractions available than there has ever been. And it's tough to keep our eyes on Jesus. I found the Lord taking me to the book of Matthew as I prepared this message. And as I studied the scripture laid out before me, I began to understand. And it took me a while to understand what the Lord was trying to say. And my son-in-law laughed at me. He says, Dad, it's three verses. I said, I get that. And it's just three verses that you're all very familiar with, but it holds a lot of information if you take the time to unpack it. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. I discovered something interesting this year. And a friend of mine, their therapist, told them that you can actually teach your brain to think it's dumb. And it made me think. I got lazy, and even in my devotions in the morning, if I had to look up scripture, I'd grab my phone and Google. And when I heard someone say that, they said, no, you can teach your brain to think that it's dumb. And instead of knowing what it knows, it waits for you to Google. That's interesting. And I grabbed my Bible. And from that day on, I make sure I look up the scripture myself, because when I first picked it up, I realized, yeah, my brain is getting dumb. And I had trouble finding things that I found for years because I stopped using it. So something to think about. Use your Bible. Don't get too comfortable with your phone. Matthew 18, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake for their fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. There is a simple message in the scripture that I feel the Lord wants us to consider this morning. It's nothing that's going to be not familiar to you, but maybe just a little reminder. Jesus was talking with Andrew and Peter, but he also says or has said the very same thing to each and every one of us. Come, follow me. Come, follow me. But what does Jesus mean when he says, come follow me? What's he inviting us to? Is it to be a Christian? No, Jesus wouldn't call us to be a Christian, because in reality, Christian is not a thing on its own. Christian was a word that people used to label followers of Jesus. Was he asking us to convert to Christianity? No, Christianity is a man-made term used to describe our belief system. So what is he calling us to? what is he calling us to be? He's calling us to be a disciple. He's calling us to be a disciple. The calling is the same today as it was back then. It means the same thing as it did back then. If you are a follower of Jesus, you're a disciple. No other option. Christian means follower of Jesus. Follower of Jesus is a disciple. Did you know that Christian is only used 3 times in the New Testament, while disciple is used 269 times? 269 times. John Cormier says it's because the New Testament was written by disciples for disciples. Think about that for a second. The New Testament was written by disciples for disciples. So we are called to be a disciple, but what does that look like? And that's where Matthew 18 to 20 spells it out quite clearly. Peter and Andrew knew exactly what he meant. But the verse requires a little digging on our part unless you are familiar with Jewish history. You see, Peter and Andrew understood what Jesus was saying because from the age of 5, Jewish children are placed in an education system with the ultimate prize of one day being chosen to follow a rabbi. They study the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible, until they're about 11 to 13 years old. And at that point, many of them are sent back home. But the smartest ones stay on till about the age of 17. And by the age of 17, the smartest ones have, believe it or not, memorized the whole Old Testament. They've memorized the whole Old Testament. At that point, most are sent into the world to get married, to find a job, and to raise a family. But the smartest, the best of the best, start to look for a rabbi that will take them on as a disciple. It's like being accepted to an Ivy League school in today's standard. The rabbis were extremely picky. They only chose the smartest, hardworking in the class. And very few were ever chosen. You see, Jewish men longed to hear a rabbi say the words that Jesus said to Peter and Andrew. Come, come, follow me. So when Jesus said that to them that day, although I'm sure they were a little startled that Jesus chose them, they knew exactly what it meant. He was calling them to be his disciples. Peter and Andrew were also aware what saying yes to a rabbi meant. You see, to follow a rabbi in those days meant you left family and village and your trade and followed a rabbi 24/7. You spent every waking moment with him, sleeping at his side, eating at his table, sitting at his feet, following him day after day on long walks from town to town, all day, every day. There was a cost, and there still is. This is where I believe confusion lies in the church, mainly in our Western society, because along the way, we've tried to remove the cost. We've created a mindset that you can be a Christian and not be a disciple, and thus eliminating the cost. If you simply say the sinner's prayer, go to church and read your Bible, well, you're a Christian. And we'll leave the disciple part to the pastor and the missionary. But that's simply not true. You can't separate the two. You can't separate the two. Christian means follower of Jesus. Follower of Jesus is a disciple. And to follow Jesus comes with a cost. We as a church have watered down discipleship in order to get more followers. Jesus never did that. He is a straight shooter. This is what it's going to cost to follow me. I can't change that. Even though it said that he loved the rich young ruler, he still spelt it out and watched him walk away sad. Jesus did not chase people. He gave the invitation and left it in their hands to consider the cost. If you felt the cost was worth it, you followed. If not, you walked away. Watering down the cost has weakened the flock. It's created confusion in the followers. It has caused many to question and wander around looking for truth. So what is the cost today? Well, it hasn't really changed either. In Matthew 4, the cost is putting down your net. What does that mean? Their nets were their life. It was their livelihood. It's how they made a living. It's how they survived. What were they required to do to follow Jesus? What was the cost? They were required to completely surrender to him. Their dreams, their desires, their goals, their purpose, and give it to Him. It was an act of dying to self. It's still the same today. It hasn't changed. Being a disciple is surrendering your will to Him, to handing Him your dreams, your goals, your desires, your aspirations. And here's the biggest hurdle. It's handing over control and letting Jesus lead you. And for most, they're not willing to do that. Most aren't willing to do that. To most, the cost is too great. If you're sitting here this morning, I can conclude that most of you at some point have said yes to Jesus. You counted the cost. You felt it was worth it. Some of you here may be still deciding, some struggling with that choice. I get that. It's a big decision. I'm afraid there might be some here this morning that said yes to being a Christian but had no idea there was a cost, did not realize you were saying yes to be a disciple. That could be a little scary. So why do some say yes to the cost? Surrendering to Him will allow you to be transformed into the you you were created to be. Surrendering to Him will allow you to live the life and live it to its fullest. To live in grace. To be loved unconditionally. To be forgiven. To live with hope. To live in freedom. It's never to be alone again. To experience real joy, real peace, real commitment. And ultimately live forever. For some, the benefits outweigh the cost. And they say yes. One day you heard the invitation. You counted the cost and you said yes to follow Jesus. You said yes to be a disciple. So what does the life of a disciple look like today? Well, the answer again is in Matthew. Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Make you, to me, is the key. You see, Jewish boys followed rabbis to learn from them to ultimately become like them. Every rabbi has what is called a yoke. It was his style. It's how they read, how they taught, how they expected, what they expected from others. Jesus also had a yoke, but his was very different. It was one of love, forgiveness, and grace. And his yoke turned the world upside down. Jesus was ushering in a new covenant, and in order to do so, he chose to use disciples. But first he had to teach them, train them, mold them, and show them so they could understand his yoke, and ultimately then they could teach others. Jesus was making disciples who make disciples. The day I was in the woods, with my grandsons, the only way they could have gotten out was to follow me. But each time we're together in the woods, they learn a little bit more. One day they will be able to get out on their own. And at that point, they will know enough to teach others. But as I wrote this message, I thought, I can't always be with my grandsons 24/7. And at this point in their life, they can easily get lost. What would be the greatest way for me to guide them? I would think the greatest way would be if I could put my spirit inside them. That no matter where they found themselves, I would be there to guide them. If they got lost or distracted and started to wander off, if they got confused or turned around, I would be there to nudge them back on the path. Is that not what Jesus did for us? Jesus said to his disciples, "It's better for you that I go away, because I will send a helper, a version of me, that will dwell inside you to teach you, to guide you, and when you get distracted and off the trail, kind of nudge you back on the path." I understand that in this day and age, to be a disciple is hard. It's hard. We're busier than we've ever been. And I know you struggle to find time. But that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit being inside of you. To live the life of a disciple, you have to follow Jesus 24/7. You have to daily sit at his feet, sleep by his side, eat at his table. Because he's training you to be like him, to understand his yoke, and then to teach it to others. But with the gift of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to physically walk around with him anymore. He's inside you. He goes where you go. 24/7, he's available to you. It's all about your mindset. You can keep him the center of your life no matter what you're doing. At home, at work, at the gym, at school, at the dinner table, changing diapers, driving to soccer practice. He's always available to you. Being a disciple takes commitment. We have to make time to be with him every day. We have to find time to sit at his feet, to talk to him, to thank him, to give him our cares, our worries, to give him our questions and give him our fears. And some days we need to just sit quietly at his feet and listen. It's simply building a relationship, because that's how it works. And when you start to wander off the path, that's when you feel that little nudge to get back on the path. But the Spirit doesn't push. The Holy Spirit's not going to push you. It's a gentle nudge. And you'll learn to be sensitive to it when you spend time in his presence. Why is time so important on a daily basis? Why? It's because he's making you into fishers of men. You are a disciple of Jesus. And disciples make disciples. It's what we do. It's how the church grows. It's how the church continues. Take 1 second and look at me this morning. Stop for 1 second right where you are. Take an honest look at your life. An honest look. Are you living like a disciple of Jesus? Can I ask you this morning, how often do you sit at his feet in a quiet place? How often do you hear him speak to you? How often have you shared him with someone else? How often have you walked with a younger disciple, teaching and encouraging? How often? Only you can answer that. Only you need to know the answer to that. We have been given an opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet. Think about that for just 1 second. We have been given an opportunity to sit at his feet, undeservingly so. But he chose us. Don't waste that. Don't waste that opportunity. I don't know where you're at this morning, and I feel some of you might be struggling with making a decision to follow him for the very first time. Can I ask you this? What's the other option? To not follow him? Can you be honest with me? How's that working out for you? I feel some of you this morning realize that you've been living as a Christian, but not as a disciple. The Lord may be stirring you to get that fixed. Others of you had looked at your life and realized that you've kind of lost your way. You've kind of wandered off the path. You find yourself wandering around searching for truth, seeking the truth, trying to find. The Holy Spirit guide you back. Others of you are trying to do your best, but you realize, you know what? You probably should be trying just a little harder. Jesus said, come. Come follow me. I have one simple question that you need to honestly answer. Are you? Are you following me? Are you following him? The church is a body of disciples that get together to worship, to encourage, to learn, and then what Jesus asked them to do. Go into your world and make disciples. Go into your world and make disciples. It's simply what disciples do. If there's a problem with the church, it's usually because there's a problem with the disciples. And it's usually because the disciples have lost their initial passionate devotion to him, replacing genuine affection with duty and routine. We have to be careful we don't get caught up in that. Today's a good day to make sure where your devotion lies. To stop and see where you're at. To take an honest look at your life. Who are you, Father? Who's making your decisions? are those decisions you're making for? I don't do altar calls. I've said that many times, but I do remind people that this altar is always open. And I say it only for one reason, because in my own life, when I make a decision at the altar, it's real. It becomes real. It becomes real. So if your heart is being stirred this morning to make some change, as the worship team comes, I encourage you to come and kneel before him this morning. I don't usually do this, but if you're choosing to follow him for the very first time, I encourage you to come forward this morning. There are people here ready to pray with you. If Jesus is speaking to you now, deal with him now. Once you walk outside, it gets way, way tougher. If Jesus is speaking to you this morning, answer him before you leave here today. Then, when you're done, go into your world and make disciples. It's what disciples do. You are a part of God's redemptive plan. You're a part of it. You are a recipient, which many of us understand. You are a recipient, but you're also an instrument. Don't forget that. If God is calling you, stirring your heart this morning, then deal with him this morning. Deal with him. Answer him. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for your people. Father, just minister to them, we pray. Father, help us to be obedient and answer your call. And thank you, Lord, for the call. In Jesus' name.